Brothers and sisters, good morning. It is good to see all of you here today. If you are visiting with us, we are especially encouraged that you're here to worship God together with us and study His Word. Our hope at this congregation is to glorify God in everything that we do, whether it be inside this building, the actions that we take, the things that we say from the pulpit, that it's truthful, that it's according to God's plan, or whether that's outside of this building. We try to strive to be God's people no matter where we are. So thank you for being here today. In a recent Bible class we had here at Westfield on Wednesday nights, we talked about prayer. And in that class, we read several of the prayers that the Apostle Paul recorded in his letters. And that class has made a significant impact on me. And one of the things I've taken from that is the things that Paul prayed for the congregations or the people that he was writing to in those letters, are the things that reflect not only Paul's desires, his heart, his love for people, but they also reflect God's will for us. And one of the phrases that Paul uses, or one of the words that Paul uses several times in the prayers that we read, is this word, filled. Several times Paul prays that God's people would be filled with God's blessings, with spiritual blessings. This morning in our lesson, I'd like to take a look at three of those places where Paul prays that we would be filled up with God's blessings. The first of these is Romans chapter 15. So if you'll open your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15. And this lesson really has one simple purpose, and that is to just encourage you to consider how much God wants to fill you up with spiritual blessings. God wants to fill you up. As you're turning there to Romans chapter 15, I want to just ask you, do you know what it's like to live life feeling empty? Maybe you feel empty in relationships with people. Maybe you've been in a crowd before and you're surrounded by a multitude of people, but yet you feel lonely. You feel like you don't belong. Maybe you feel empty. Or maybe you feel empty in your relationship with another person. Maybe there's a strain there. Or maybe you feel empty in your relationship to life. Maybe you lack motivation. You lack fulfillment. You lack satisfaction in life. Or maybe you feel empty in your relationship with God. Maybe you doubt. Maybe you struggle with sin. Or you struggle with something in your life that feels like your relationship with God is empty. God does not want you to go through life feeling this way. He wants you to be filled with these blessings. And so this is the point of our lesson this morning. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul prays that we would be filled with hope. Read verse 13 with me. He says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, to prevent us from just lifting this passage out of its context, let's briefly explain what Paul is dealing with in this chapter. Really, in chapters 14 and 15, Paul is dealing with a specific issue that has to do with the tensions between Jew and Gentile. And he talks about how we need to lay aside our preferences. They were talking about inconsequential matters of faith and belief and personal judgment. And he says in verse 7 of this chapter that we need to accept one another because Christ has accepted one another. Christ has accepted us. We accept one another on the basis that Christ has accepted us. The point of this is that hope is available to all people, both Jew and Gentile. God has accepted both. And specifically focusing here in the context on the Gentiles, because it was them that did not once have this hope. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 about this unity that now exists between Jew and Gentile. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." One of the reasons that people feel empty in this life is because they have no hope. And the book of Romans tells us, and Ephesians tells us, that hope is available to everybody in Jesus. And not just that we would have hope, but Paul prays that we would be filled with hope, that we would abound in that. But you notice in our text that he doesn't begin just by saying hope, but he asks God that he would fill us with joy and peace so that we would abound in hope. Joy and peace is the way we orient ourselves in the present. It's the way we view our circumstances today. Whatever we're going through, we can have joy and peace in Christ. But that ultimately, the ultimate goal of Paul's prayer here is that that joy and peace now will translate into how we view the future. That we will view the future with hope. And the hope that the Bible speaks of is defined often as a confident expectation. Think about that and how it's different from the way we typically use the word hope. When we use the word hope today, we convey a wish. It's a desire, but we really don't have a lot of certainty in how that's going to be fulfilled. We might say things like, well, I hope one day, if you're a high school student, I hope one day to go to college. And hopefully that becomes a reality to you, but you're not really guaranteed that. I mean, hopefully that you can make that happen, you can have good grades and that sort of thing, but sometimes when we use the word hope, we're kind of held back by this possibility that it may not really happen for us. But in the Bible, when it uses the word hope, it speaks not only of the desire that we have to see it fulfilled, but the confidence that we have to see it filled. A couple of passages in Romans that illustrate this. Romans chapter 5, in verse 5, he's talking about how we view life. Because we have been reconciled to God, that we have joy even in trials, because our trials lead to character, and character leads to hope. In verse 5, he says, and hope does not disappoint. Think about that statement for a moment. That hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Another passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Paul writes, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. That's the idea of hope there, that we not only are wanting to be with God in eternity, we not only want and aspire to the resurrection, but we eagerly wait for it, knowing with confidence that we expect it to happen. That's the kind of hope that God wants to fill you with. Consider the love that God has for you, that He wants you to have that. And what Paul is praying for here in Romans chapter 15 is that you would abound in this hope. Your translation may say that you may overflow with hope. Let me ask you, are you overflowing with hope this morning? I mean, can you honestly say, as you think about the future of you know, your life and where it's going, that you not only just have a little bit of hope, but that you're overflowing with hope? Can you honestly say that? We all have hopes and we all have dreams in this life. I mean, we have hopes to go to college one day, or to have a great career, or to get married and bear children, or maybe to travel the world, whatever your hopes are in this life. And we all have those. But those are just temporary. They're restrained and they have boundaries to this life. Earthly hopes can change and they can disappoint. And yes, they can be dashed. But our hope for eternity cannot be dashed. Our hope for eternity cannot disappoint. Do you have hopes beyond this life into the next? The hope that Robert talked about this morning, that's what Paul and what God wants you to be filled with. But secondly, God wants you to be filled with His will. Go to Colossians chapter 1. This is a prayer that we spent some time on, looking at in our class that we were in. Verse 9, Paul says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, he's talking in context about the faith and the hope that these Colossian Christians have. He says, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." What Paul is praying for here is not just that we would have knowledge, which is important. Knowledge is important, especially in our day to day when we're living in a world and culture that's becoming increasingly biblically illiterate and unfamiliar. We have to have knowledge of the Bible in order to know God's will. But Paul isn't just praying that we would know the Bible, know where to find those passages that, you know, talk about baptism, but that we would read in those passages how baptism needs to change us. God wants us to be filled with His will, not just with book knowledge, but to have the hearts to be transformed by that will. And that type of heart, that type of life that is filled with God's will, looks three different ways in this passage. First of all, it is living to please God. Verse 10, he says, "that you may walk in a manner pleasing, worthy of the Lord." The idea of walking in the Bible, you know, is a metaphor for our conduct, for the direction we take in our life. When you're walking somewhere. Where are we walking? And what's the direction? What's the purpose for which we're walking? Paul wants us to be filled with God's will, that we would be pleasing to God, that would be the direction of our lives. Pleasing God needs to be the single goal of our lives. Not pleasing ourselves, not even pleasing other people, but pleasing the one that made us, pleasing Him because He is our Lord and our God. And this includes service. He says later on in verse 10 that we would bear fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we walk in a manner that's pleasing to God, we're going to serve. We're going to fill our lives with good fruits and that action. Paul wants us to be filled with God's will because that's what it's going to lead us to. Secondly, if we live with God's will, filled with God's will, then verse 11 says we're going to be strengthened to steadfastly endure all of life's trials. I don't know what all of you are going through right now. They might be health struggles. They might be family struggles. They might be financial difficulties. They might even be spiritual struggles. But I will tell you with confidence that whatever it is that you're going through today, God's will is going to strengthen you to endure that. And not just endure it, not just, I believe Scott has made this point before in some of his lessons or Bible classes, that that patience is not just dropping your anchor and just weathering the storm. Patience is sailing through the storm. God's will is going to enable you to do that, to have the strength to go forward in these times of difficulties. And that may seem impossible to us now, but God's will, if we're filled with it, it's going to strengthen us by His glorious might so we can attain to that goal. And then thirdly, if we are filled with God's will, it's going to help us joyfully give thanks in verse 12. Joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. It is good for us to give thanks to God for our food, as we traditionally do before a meal. It's good for us to give thanks to God for our homes and for our families, for our cars and all the physical things we enjoy in this life. But to be filled with God's will, we're going to give thanks to God for more than just those physical blessings. We're going to give thanks to God for what He has done through Christ for us, the grace and the hope and the mercy that we have. That's what he's talking about in this context. Read on down in verse 13, same context, same continuing, "for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." If you're filled with God's will, you will see what God has done for you. And you'll be overflowing with gratitude and joy because you see the graciousness of God to you. And before we move on to the next point here, I want to make this important statement. That in order to be filled with God's will, we're going to have to find that in His written word. You cannot find God's will outside of that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For the word of Christ, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." we read the word of Christ in the written words of God. When we talk about being filled with God's will, we're not talking about some theoretical thing. We're not talking about, you know, some emotional thing or some inner leading of our hearts or minds. We're talking rather about the tangible, the infallible, the all-objective, all-sufficient word of God here. And if you're going to be filled with God's word, that's going to mean you're going to have to fill your time, fill your energy, fill your mind with God's word. Spend some time in God's word. Are we daily spending time in God's word? Because if we're not, we're not really going to be filled with God's will as God wants us to. Can you really say that you're filled with God's will? And then finally this morning, God wants us to be filled with His fullness. Ephesians chapter 3 is probably one of the grandest prayers that Paul recorded in Scripture. And when we read this passage in Ephesians 3, we kind of get the sense that Paul is struggling with the dictionary, trying to come up with words to describe the infinite, the majestic plan and love of God. This is what was read for us a few minutes ago in our reading. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Wow. Think about what Paul just prayed for there, that all-encompassing prayer of God, of Paul. He's praying that we would be filled up, in verse 19, with the fullness of God. Now, I'll be honest with you here. That last phrase, the fullness of God, kind of bends my mind. What is Paul saying here? Does God want us to be filled up with some characters or some qualities that God has? What exactly is Paul praying for here? Well, let me just make this point just to kind of summarize the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is about how God's eternal plan is accomplished through Christ for His people, the church. That's really a summary statement of the book of Ephesians, that God has this eternal grand plan that He accomplished through Jesus, that He completed, fulfilled in Jesus for us, His people, the church. And the book of Ephesians uses the word full or fullness several times throughout the letter. I'm just going to put these passages on the screen here. We're not going to read them all, but just to illustrate to you this idea of fullness in Ephesians. For example, in chapter 1, verse 10, Paul's talking about the blessings that we have in Christ. Namely, one of them is that God has revealed this plan to us with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. What God has planned to do, He has done in Jesus. He has done it. He has accomplished it. He has fulfilled it. He has made it full. And the point is that if we have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with Christ, not only is God's will fulfilled in us, but we will be full in Christ. We are made complete. We are made mature. We are made full in Christ. And I think that's what he's saying in chapter 3, verse 19, in this prayer to be filled up to God's fullness, that we would enjoy, that we would experience all the fullness of these blessings that God has showered down upon us in Christ. It's all about a relationship with Jesus. Going back to chapter 3, let's look at this prayer for just a few minutes. There are three components to this fulfilling relationship with God. And it begins in verse 16 by being strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. The idea of the inner man there is he's talking about our hearts, our wills, our minds, that we would be strengthened with power. God uses his power to show us how much he loves us. And this takes us back to chapter 1, how God has used his power to raise Jesus from the dead. But then in chapter 2, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God used his power to raise us up from the depths of our sin, from the death of our sin. God uses his power to show us what he can do to transform us, to make us alive in Christ, to forgive us of our sins, and make us new in Christ. And when we see that, we're strengthened with power. Have you ever had days when you just feel weak spiritually? Ever days when you just struggle? If you have, then you know what it's like for that to be discouraging sometimes. But don't flounder like that. Understand that God is there to strengthen you with his power through his blessings. Verse 17 goes on to say, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is language that describes a relationship with God, that we dwell with Christ through faith, that he dwells in us. And when we trust, when we obediently do what the Lord says, Christ does dwell with us through faith, that his desires, his will, his want for us controls our own. But really the main point of Paul's prayer here is not about power. It's not really about faith, but really it's about love. Because all of this is pointed in the direction of what he says at the end, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. This is Paul's ultimate prayer for you. This is really God's ultimate will for you, that you would know just how much God loves you. And the book of Ephesians really is trying to emphasize that God has done so much for you. What will you do for him? And the paradox about all of this is, as he says in verse 19, that he wants us to know the love of Christ, but it's really surpassing knowledge. You cannot fully fathom the depths of God's love. I mean, you can try to measure it, you can try to explain it, but at the end of the day, we're never going to be able to exhaust the love of God. But the little bit that we can, the little bit that we can at least appreciate and understand about God's love for us, that just little bit will fill you up entirely if you will let it. If you'll let God's love impact you and reach your heart, it will fill you up. So Paul prays here that we would be filled up with God, filled up with how much he loves you. And this relationship with God needs to take priority over everything in life. When you're filled up with God, you know what that looks like? It looks like that God becomes your most important priority. He becomes your one dream. He becomes your ultimate hope. He becomes your deepest desire. He becomes your greatest motivation for everything you do in life. That's what it means to be filled up to God's fullness, to make God your one desire. Do you want to know what that's like? Do you want to know what it's like to be filled up with God's blessings? That's God's desire for you. You've probably heard before this question of if you look at a glass that's half full, you look at it as being half full or half empty. And the way the psychologists deal with this and use this is you know, if you look at it as half empty, then you're typically a pessimist. If you look at it as half full, you're typically an optimist. And that's interesting to think about. But God doesn't want us to live life with half empty or half full glasses. God wants us to live with a full glass, filled with his blessings, filled so much that it's running over. And I like what David says in Psalm 23 and verse 5, remember, my cup overflows. I don't think David was just talking about physical blessings. Surely he was a physically blessed man. He was the king. He had a lot of physical pleasures in this life. But that's not what was most important to David. When he said, "My cup overflows," he was thinking about God. How God has spiritually made him full in life. And that's what God wants to do with you today. But before that can happen, before God can fill you up with his spiritual blessings, you have to empty yourself of your pride, of your self-will, your selfishness, your vain will, and your sin. That doesn't mean you have to become a perfect person. None of us are perfect. But what it does mean is you have to make a decision that I'm not going to live for self now. I'm not going to fill myself up with earthly things that leave me just feeling more and more empty. I'm going to leave myself empty, and I'm going to let God fill me up. I'm going to empty myself of myself and come to God with a penitent, contrite heart and say, "God, I'm empty. I want you to fill me up." If you need to do that this morning, we encourage you. This is an opportunity. This is an invitation for you to fill your life up with God. If you need to be baptized, immersed in Christ, to make that commitment to follow Christ for the rest of your life and serve your Creator, this is an encouragement to you. Or maybe as a Christian, you've struggled with life. Maybe you've struggled in your faith and you need to make your life right with God. Or maybe you just need the help and the encouragement of the saints here. We're here to help you. Whatever you need, please come to the front as we encourage you with this song.